Psalm 23, I know this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy precious word. Lord, I pray that your word would be just encouragement, strength, and help to us today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Psalm 23 has probably got to be one of the most quoted verses in all of the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, you can go online and you can look up just the most famous common quotes that you will hear. And, you know, I wrote down a few of them, but there's a lot of different quotes. But I like the ones that are anonymous, unknown. You know, there's all these famous quotes by famous people. But here's a good one. This is a good one. If we're not meant to have midnight snacks, why is there a light in the refrigerator? Right? Isn't that true? Abraham Lincoln said this, the best thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time. But here's another one. The best quotes are the unknown ones. Always remember that you are unique, just like everybody else. And then Mark Twain said this, I like this one too. Mark Twain said, age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. But you know, all of those quotes, none of them really affect us in any substantial way. But when you read Psalm 23 and just the first four words, the Lord is my shepherd. The power in that statement and the potential in that statement. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we could look this morning, we could think, and we know who it is that wrote that statement. It's David. And we could read all through 1st and 2nd Samuel. We could read the life and we could read the stories of David. But you know, more importantly, even than reading the history of David and the life of David that brought about that statement is more importantly to understand the context in Scripture just before we look at that verse to think about it. Because Psalm 23 comes only after Psalm 22. You can't have Psalm 23 without Psalm 22. Psalm 23 doesn't work without Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 starts off with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And speaks about Jesus Christ on the cross, offered up as a lamb, the Lamb of God for your sins and mine. And then it's followed up by Psalm 24. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. Who is the King of glory? And right in the middle is Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But after Psalm 24, the next psalm is this, and this is where it all leads to. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. And this morning I want to take time, and I just want to remind you of Psalm 23, and especially just really the first part of the first verse. For we could go on and and think about the whole psalm, but it does us well just to remind ourselves and to refresh our hearts and our minds and to just tell ourselves over and over again, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Boy, that says it all, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. And first of all, when we stop and think of it, I want to put a face upon it, if you will. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus is speaking one time, and there's a group of people around, and disciples around him, and he has this group of people. He says, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Moses, and some say you're one of the other prophets." But then Jesus turned to Peter and he said, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Peter rightly responded, he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But you know, when you stop and you pause and you think about this statement that David made, the Lord is my shepherd, it does as well just to think about who it is. Who are we talking about? You see, we're not talking about any man other than the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one like the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah says, "Who is like unto our God?" But the Lord is my shepherd. And there's two things I'd remind you of. First of all, I just want to stir your minds up to think about the person of Jesus Christ, the person of God, the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, you just start emphasizing the different words in that statement. The Lord, He is the one that's my shepherd. And you can go all the way back, and you start in Genesis, and you go all the way through, and of course we won't take time this morning, but you think about who the Lord is. And the first thing you see is when you begin to read, and you read Genesis chapter 1, and so many times we think, well, I've read Genesis chapter 1, and I've read that, and I know that, and do we really know it? Shouldn't we go back and just think about it? Because in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning. And first of all, it reminds us that our Lord is eternal. And how important that is. He has always been the eternal Son of God. He is God. He's eternal. He's forever. But then you begin to read the account of creation, and it just illuminates your mind and your heart to who the Lord is. And there's two things I would bring to your attention when you read Genesis chapter 1 is, first of all, the wisdom of God. No earthly architect, no engineer, no mere mortal man could ever design such a thing as God designed in creating everything. And when you read Genesis chapter 1 and you read how it's all brought about in perfect order with perfect design and the wisdom of God, you and I can barely follow instructions. Right? We get something, we look at the instruction, it takes us time to read the instructions and then to look at the pictures and figure out what A is and what B is and what C is and what D is and where E goes. And then you go back and you miss this. But to come up with a design and plan and write the instructions, the wisdom of God. You think about that. When you think about the Lord, that He is the all-wise, all-knowing God. His wisdom is perfect. But then also, He's the one that created everything. You can have an architect that can put it down on paper. You can have an engineer that can tell you how it works. But you put an architect and an engineer in a room and you probably get nothing done. Excuse me, I'm not knocking engineers out there today. Sorry, Joe. But you have to have someone do the work, right? Amen? Someone's got to pick up the hammer. And God is the one that did it all with his very words. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he is the all-wise. My Lord is all-knowing. That's why the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Read the word of God. But it says the Lord, he's all-wise. And it goes on in Genesis. And the first thing that the Lord says to Abram, I am the Almighty God. Not only is it his wisdom, but his power. That he's all-powerful. He's the Almighty God. But we could continue on with this person. And I know that if I were to ask, and I know that many of you would be able to answer, and who is the Lord? He's the righteous God, holy God, the eternal God, the most high God, loving, merciful. And we could go on. He's the Lord my righteousness. He's the Lord my peace. He's everything. And we've heard messages and we've done studies and we've talked about just how many ways there are in the Bible to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only his person, but his position. His position. For you see, when you think about the Lord, his position right now is that he is seated on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. But he is the Lord. He is eternal. But you go back to Psalm 22, and he is the Christ, the one that God sent. And why did he send Jesus Christ, our Lord? Why did he send him here to earth to go to the cross of Calvary, to die for our sins, to be put upon that cross, to be raised up from the dead, to ascend back into glory so that we could have eternal life? In his position right now, and this is why we sing hymns about where the Lord Jesus Christ is right now, that we would know that he is not dead. So many quotes that you read online or written by people that they've died. They're no longer alive. But Jesus Christ is still alive, folks. He is on the right hand of God. He's seated there at the right hand of his Father. God has given him a name which is above every name. There's no other name like the name of Jesus Christ. And that's why Psalm 22 speaks about the cross. Psalm 24 speaks about the Lord, the King of glory. Look what it says. Look at verse number 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. You know, there's a hymn we have in our hymnals. God is still on the throne, folks. And he never forsaketh his own. And that's our Lord. That's the Lord. The Lord. The Lord, sovereign, omnipotent, all-powerful, seated on the right hand of God, coming again. The Lord, the King of glory, the Savior, the Son of God. This is the person of whom we speak. This is the one of whom this statement is made. The Lord, no one else. There is no other person whose name can be put in place here. Only one person, Jesus Christ, our Lord. If I would have you turn, I'd have you turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. How important it is to just pause and think and remind ourselves who it is that is the shepherd this morning. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. And they shall be changed. But thou art the same. And thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? David said, The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. But you know, second of all, there's something else David says. And I like this. I might have loved this. I mean, it's the word of God. But it says right there, the Lord is my shepherd. You know what's neat about that? Is that if you read that yesterday, it said the same thing. If you read it tomorrow, it's going to say the same thing. The Lord, it doesn't say the Lord was or will be. It says the Lord is my shepherd. Right now, this very moment. And second of all, we think about the fact of this statement. The fact of this statement. And I want to just focus for a moment on that, just that tense that's spoken there. The Lord is my shepherd. Once again, you just start emphasizing, the Lord is my shepherd. First of all, it's a reality. It's a present reality. The Lord is my shepherd. Like Paul would say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But the Lord is my shepherd. You just start saying that over to yourself, and boy, I tell you what assurance it brings to your soul. The Lord is my shepherd. He is. There's no doubt about it. I can lose sight of it. Doesn't change a thing. I can forget it. Doesn't change a thing. I can question it. Doesn't change a thing. You see, this is the reality. As a child of God, the Lord is my shepherd. Doesn't matter what the circumstances say to me. Doesn't matter what anybody else says to me. Doesn't matter what I say to myself. Doesn't matter what the devil says. The Lord is my shepherd. That's reality, folks. As much as your height and weight is reality, this is reality. You know, you can say what you weigh all you want, and then you step into the doctor's office, and they say, step on that scale. And what do? You unload your pockets, don't you? Right? Well, let me get the keys and the phone and everything out of my pockets. And then you say, boy, you know, I've lost. And then, you know what? They just look at that thing and they bounce that little weight thing across the line and it keeps going up, 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 up. And they say, it doesn't matter what you say. This is reality. Hey, folks, this is reality. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. And it's a very present reality. Notice that is the Lord right now is my shepherd. You can be sick, you can be well, you can be sad, you can be joyful. It doesn't matter. The Lord is your shepherd right now. And I tell you what, when you start thinking about that, boy, number one, it gives you assurance. The Lord's my shepherd. It takes away the anxiety. It gives you comfort. It gives you peace and joy. It gives you security. It gives you rest. It gives you everything you need just in the statement itself. Just knowing that the Lord is my shepherd. But not only that, not only is it a present reality, it's a permanent reality. As a child of God, the Lord is your shepherd, and that will never change. No one can take that from you. No one can rob you of it. But not only that, the Lord is not going to let it go as well. The Lord says, I'm your shepherd. You know, we've all owned vehicles, right? Well, many of us have owned vehicles. And then you know what happens? We get tired of the vehicle for some reason or other. And what do? We sell it, we trade it, we get rid of it, we give it away. Hey, let me tell you something. It will never happen with you and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is not going to give you away. He's not going to trade you away. He's not going to discard you. He's not going to call up the scrapyard and say, hey, come take this one away. You're his sheep. He's your shepherd. Two things about this. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Never. You understand? When he says, I will never leave you, forsake you, that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the years of your life till you see him face to face. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a present reality. What a reality is. What an assurance. It's the greatest assurance you can have. We need no other assurance. Isaiah 26 says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Right? And this statement is that statement that you can go back to over and over and over again and just whenever any thought arises, you just go back to this. The Lord's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Boy, I tell you what. It's simple, but how powerful it is. The Lord is my shepherd. And the fact is, it's a present reality, but it's a permanent reality. It's forever. It's secure. It's stable. No one can destroy this statement. The Lord is my shepherd. And then we come down to not only who he is, but the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. You know, we think of all the descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this one just encompasses them all. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. And what I mean by that is, it just encircles everything. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, when it comes to a shepherd and the sheep, sheep don't have to think about a thing. They don't worry about a thing. Because a shepherd takes care of everything. Everything. Right? The shepherd takes care of how much? How much? What if you forgot something? He didn't forget it, did he? What if you don't understand something? He understands it. What if you can't handle it? He can handle it. What if you can't figure it out? He's got it all figured out. What if you lack the ability? He's got the ability. But he's your shepherd. He's your shepherd. And that word shepherd speaks of the favor of the Lord towards you and me. We're in Romans chapter 5, and it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God and through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace when we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And you know, I was thinking about the, excuse me, but my sub-points don't match up with the rest of my sub-points. But two things that comes to my heart and mind is this. That it speaks most importantly of the heart of the Lord towards me and towards you. Because it all stems from his heart. And what it speaks about is that not only is he all-wise, not only is he all-powerful, not only is he all those things that we read in the scripture about, we know about, but how empty would all those things be if it didn't come down to this, the heart of Jesus Christ toward me. That he cares. That he cares. That's why Peter writes and says, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. And it speaks of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of his heart. You know, the Bible says in the Gospel of John, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. No greater love than this. No greater love than the love of Jesus Christ toward you and me. He loved me and gave himself for me. And it speaks of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ toward you and me. And so many times we can lose sight of that so quickly. Jesus cares about you. And once again, he won't stop. His care won't diminish. But not only does he care about you, not only does it speak about his heart, but it speaks about his hand, that because he cares, he takes action, he does something. And those hands that are so mighty, and those hands that are so powerful, they're also so tender and loving, aren't they? And that's why we come to Psalm 23 and verse number 1 and the last part of it. The Lord is my shepherd. And then it says this, I shall not want. That phrase, I shall not want, means there's nothing lacking. Because Jesus Christ is taking care of everything. There's nothing lacking. Think about that. What contentment that brings. What peace that brings. What rest that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, you can add a parenthesis there, but God didn't add a parenthesis there. You can put an exception there. God didn't put an exception. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And what that means is we can look at every aspect of every part of every day of our life and understand this, that in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is supplied, everything is taken care of. That's why David says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, unto, O my God, I trust in thee. And this is where Psalm 23 goes on to open up, begin to delineate and explain to us the fullness of this statement. It starts with, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And look what it says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The first thing he does is he causes us just to rest in him. And rest in those green pastures, really alluding to resting in the Word of God. Resting in the Scriptures and feeding upon the Scriptures. God said, I'll feed you with the finest of wheat. The finest of wheat. The finest of wheat. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. Just stop and think. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. You know, the Lord's my shepherd. Hey, he is never going to lead you in a wrong path. He's never going to lead you in the wrong direction. Anybody, anywhere else, could make a mistake and lead you in the wrong direction. Not the Lord Jesus Christ. He leads you always in the right direction. Therefore, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, darkest moments, I don't have to fear. Why? I will fear no evil. Why? Because my shepherd's with me. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because I know he's protecting me. He's taking care of me. He's watching over me in the darkest of times. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of life. And guess what? I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's as much as a reality as the first statement. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And from verse number 2 to verse number 6, it's all about what he does for you and me. Everything that he does. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He restores my soul. He leads me. He is with me. He comforts me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil. He gives me goodness and mercy. He's the one that guarantees that I will dwell in his house. And Psalm 23 is, I know it's familiar, folks, but boy, we ought to go through it every day. Just remind yourself when you wake up. I don't know what today's bringing. But I know this, the Lord's my shepherd. I don't know what tomorrow's bringing, but I know this, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. But you know, just one last thing. You know what the most precious and most important word in that verse is? My. My shepherd. Because the Bible could clearly state the Lord is the shepherd. And he is the shepherd.
The Lord is a shepherd. But until it becomes real to you, until it becomes the Lord is my shepherd, it's nothing more than a statement. Oh, it's the truth. And it's the Word of God. But how personal it can be, how personal it needs to be. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And brethren, this is why it's so important to every day walk with the Lord and have time with the Lord and remind ourselves, the Lord is my shepherd. Just think of the picture of a flock of sheep. When they stay under the care of the shepherd, how beautiful their life is. But how easy and how prone a sheep is to just wander away and lose sight of the blessing and the peace and the joy and the rest that comes from knowing that the Lord is my shepherd. You know, we could look at a flock of sheep, we could see that one starting to wander off and leave the shepherd and go over there, and you'd look and say, why? Why is that one sheep just, everything is here, wants for nothing? But you know, we could look at ourselves and say, why? Why do I wander from the Lord? Why do I not draw closer to the Lord every day? The Lord is my shepherd. But the only way the Lord will be your shepherd is through trusting in Him first as your Savior. The Lord is my shepherd because, first of all, He's my Savior. And I trust in Him for my salvation, and I trust Him in for my life, and I trust in Him for my future. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word this morning. Lord, I know it's a simple truth that we've stated once again, Lord. But how precious and powerful it is when we know in the depths of our heart, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Lord, in Thee do we lift up our soul. In Thee do we trust and rejoice in Thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen.